welcome to another episode of the Catholic Buzz, episode 30. I can't believe we've been on the air for 30 episodes. My name is Father Daniele. Welcome to you. Thanks for tuning in and always sending us your suggestions, your compliments, and your critiques. Obviously, we welcome those too. And I'm always joined by the experts in the Catholic faith. Over here is Josh Sullivan. Welcome to you, Josh.
Good to see you. Thank you, yeah.
And the person I've listed as the one to give the eulogy at my funeral, Matt Van Milligan. Matt,
hello.
Welcome to you too. 30 episodes, congratulations.
Yeah. Yeah. 30. I don't think we ever thought that it was going to get this far.
No, I think we started thinking like something to pass the time during a quarantine.
Yeah, and be able to reach out because the church was like, there was nobody allowed in the church. No one's allowed to, like, you watched masses online. Like, that was the only thing available to us. So to help further our faith. But then we've long passed the time where we could actually have the church open and people are coming back to mass and hearing homilies and hearing and being able to actually pray or do, you know.
Yeah, and we're talking about some really cool things on our series, you know, on this podcast.
I think so.
Yeah, and I think we're talking about topics that normally aren't talked about a lot, and we do have like we have a good mix of experience and knowledge, especially with Matt as a little fountain of knowledge.
I was going to say the teeter-totter kind of weighs some ways, depending on the word you're using.
That's right. That's right. And we can't wait to see what Matt's word of the day will be here. Hey, today's November 10th. Tomorrow, of course, we're celebrating Remembrance Day in Canada. So obviously we're going to pause for a moment to remember those who have sacrificed their lives for our country and remember all the, you know, that's in this month of November, we remember all those who have died. That's what the church has always set aside, the month of November, to remember all those who have died. And tomorrow we remember those specifically who died tragically, violently in war and who've made sacrifice for us and for our freedoms.
I think it's a lot of time. I wonder, and I'm hopefully around to see, I want to see the transition. I think like now we are at the point, our generation at least had grandparents that have experienced the war or were in the war or had brothers and sisters that were, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And now we're slowly getting to the point of like my kids, that was their great grandparents. And I hope that we don't ever lose the meaning behind Remembrance Day. Right. I don't think we will. I think a lot enough people are remembering. And then as well as the military does keep it current. We have a couple of family members that are in Canadian military. And it's something that we just remember is the brothers and sisters, their brothers and sisters from the military that have put their lives on the line every day. You know, so remembering that and being thankful for those people that did that.
Yeah, and again, you know, we were talking about last week about 2020 being kind of a year where everything's canceled and it's unfortunate. Again, tomorrow, I mean, Remembrance Day ceremonies are really important in the lives of, like you said, to keep the tradition alive for your kids to know and to let people pause and really reflect on the sacrifice people made. Those aren't happening tomorrow because you can't gather in large crowds.
It would be interesting to see how many people celebrated Halloween a couple weeks ago on their own, but how many people actually celebrate Remembrance Day. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Specifically, I'm thinking because you celebrate at school for sure, but specifically as a family, you know what I mean? So,
yeah, and I think it does help. You know, at school, most classes will stop at 11 o'clock to make a moment of silence. You know, but yeah, if you're not in school, to stop to give thanks, to pray for those who have died, and most importantly, to pray for peace. We can never not pray for peace enough in our world, right? Yeah. So on that topic of remembering, the month of November is set aside for remembering those who have died in the church. So November 1st, we celebrate All Saints Day. November 2nd was All Souls Day. And usually on All Souls Day, you're given people are asked to go to the cemetery to pray for those who have died. And the church grants a plenary indulgence, right? That has been extended for the whole month of November because of our circumstances with COVID-19. So if you haven't got to a cemetery yet to pray, go for it and pray for the dead. Get that plenary indulgence. But that leads us to the topic of what we're talking about today. Catholic funerals. What happens when a Catholic dies? The more of the preparation. We're not going to get into like the heaven or hell, right? Yeah. But more of what should happen when someone passes away. And I'll tell you, I think this is a really important topic because it saddens me when you read the obituaries. I don't know. Maybe that's not something you read. You know, but as a priest,
something I used to do. Yeah,
as a priest, or as Matt likes to call me, a sacramental engineer. I read the obituaries, and it's really sad to hear, you know, about someone who's passed away. It says, you know, a faithful parishioner of this parish, a member of the CWL, or, you know, lector, and that no funeral service. And it's like this person who has given their life of faith and service to the church isn't even afforded by their family a Catholic funeral. And I think that's heartbreaking. And I think that has to be really addressed, and it's not addressed enough. But maybe there are some people who are just, you know, disassociated from the church that don't even think of having a sort of a Catholic funeral for their mom or dad, or...
It's a hard time, especially during COVID, because the rules around COVID and funeral, well, we want to push this back until this time. And then it gets to the point where it's, okay, we just got to get it done. So let's just get it done. And, or, okay, well, you know what? We're not going to get it done. We're just going to bury the body or whatever. I worked as a financial advisor and a field agent for the Knights of Columbus. And so one of my jobs was dealing with families at time of death. And so if someone was to pass away, if they were Knights of Columbus or their spouse or even kids in the Knights of Columbus family, they could call the field agent. And what I did was I went in and I would help them along with the paperwork and some of the guiding, some of the areas, because most people only deal with time of death two or three times in their life. Mm-hmm. The intimate details of buying a casket and those kind of things, right, two or three times in their life, maybe a parent or... a spouse, God forbid, a child, you know, like, yeah, there, those are the only times. And so it's an area that's not as familiar with people until they fall into it. That's Does right. that make sense? Mm-hmm. But I think as we get into different, at one time, let's say years and years ago, you grew up Catholic. It was a cultural thing, but it also was the thing that, like, it wasn't only cultural, it was your faith. And so because it was so intimate part of who you were, there was no question as to what you wanted at the end of your life. But now as we slowly get into this time where I'm going to say family members aren't necessarily the same religion or aren't practicing to the same level as faith, you're having people, specifically children, your children making decisions or a spouse making decisions. I even had one time had a divorced spouse apparently making decisions for the person that wanted to. And so these are not necessarily, if you don't make your things known, if you don't make your will known of what you want, then it causes a lot of unrest and a lot of disturbing, because you have children. I had one case where I had a family torn apart at the time of this funeral because one side of the family was saying no, they want a Catholic burial, and the other side of the family was saying no, they didn't, they cared about that one time, they don't care about it anymore. Mm-hmm. And that can be so disheartening, or just you know. Yeah. So making it clear.
Yeah, and there are a number of reasons like why that can be, like you said, like generationally people are moving away from that tradition or that kind of shared family belief. Mm-hmm. But generally, like you said, people only think about this, you know, once or twice, and like when you're buying life insurance or when you're, yeah, like if exactly. if you're doing that thing. But in a more general way, especially today, we spend a lot of time kind of actively avoiding the possibility that we're going to die, or like we avoid True. that yeah. reality. Like, we don't get together on a Friday night and mm-hmm. you know, talk about
no, our future funeral plans.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
We're like, we're not going to do that this week.
And if we do, we're probably not invited to parties. But
yeah. And okay, so why? Let's just start. Why is it important to have a Catholic funeral? So right before the time someone dies, I want to start there because I think it's important to mention. When someone is in the hospital, at home sick, close to death, call a priest immediately. That person needs to receive the sacrament of the sick. At the end, the priest will afford them the apostolic pardon, which is preparation for them at death to be welcomed into heaven. That's very important for their spiritual life. Very sad when that's not afforded to someone at the end of their life. Sometimes families call at the absolute last minute, and it's impossible for someone to get there, right? Mm-hmm. So make some time. As soon as that's happening, call a priest. Now, at the time of someone's death, this is what we believe, that their soul is moving from this world into the next, yeah, right? So there are prayers to be said at that time. And that's the whole point of a Catholic funeral. Because even though the soul has left the body, this body that has housed that soul should be treated with dignity. Mm-hmm. And the body that we have has also housed a lifetime of experience, right? Mm-hmm. We're people with family and friends and jobs and history and experiences. That should also be celebrated, you know, because God has blessed us with many blessings during our life that now, as our soul is heading towards God, we should take a moment to give thanks to God for the life of this person, because every person, doesn't matter who they are, has affected someone in their life, has touched the lives of someone, you know? And so we need to come together and we need to celebrate that. And then the real aspect of the Catholic funeral is to commend their soul home to God. Mm-hmm. And to pray that God will be a merciful judge. Mm-hmm. I mean, people don't like to talk about that. It's like that yeah. Friday night party you were talking about.
Yeah.
People don't like to talk about that. At the end of our lives, we are going to be judged. So we're praying that the Lord will be merciful to this person, that they will, their soul will be commended home to God. And we celebrate the blessings. We give thanks to God for the blessings in their life. Those are all important reasons mm-hmm. for a funeral that don't exist when someone is not afforded a Catholic funeral.
And I think that you make that important distinction, because if you were to ask just somebody, why do you need to have a Catholic funeral or a funeral service? I think a lot of times you're going to hear the answer of, oh, for closure for yourself, or to, you know, like, but all, taking all those other reasons out of, yeah, sure, a funeral service might give you some of these things, mm-hmm. but the Catholic funeral service is giving you, so like you said, God have mercy on your soul. I don't think, it bugs me, and now this is just a personal belief, and maybe that's personal, I don't know why, but is when, you know, when we're at a Catholic funeral service or we're in an old age home, not an old age home, sorry, a funeral home, and they say something along the lines of, oh, they're in heaven now. It just, sometimes you're like, I'm not one to judge, but you can't, you know? I mean, hopefully, yes, if they, like, I mean, if it was a cloister sister that prayed all her life and everything else, I really hope that we could say that, and I wouldn't have any problem saying that. But there are some people that, like, that didn't live that type of a life, you know, lived a life contrary to the teachings of the Catholic Church in all aspects. But because their family member was Catholic or something, they have, and they're like, oh, they're in heaven now. I'm like, well, let's pray. So let's pray that God has mercy on that person's soul.
And that's the point. When we offer someone all the mercy of God in the funeral, I think we forget that people think the funeral is a sacrament.
It's not.
The funeral is a corporal work of mercy. That's the whole point. And the funeral mass is really beautiful. Mm-hmm. You know, just like when we were baptized and your parents brought you into the church, so on the day of your funeral, there's people carrying you into the church. Mm-hmm. Right at the doors of the church, your body is welcomed. And those are the words of the Mass. You know, on the day of your baptism, you were welcomed into the church. Today, we greet the body of our brother or sister, and we commend them home to the Lord. It's really beautiful. Everything's, you know, our life has come full circle here on earth.
Yeah, and it's because we've talked in previous episodes about kind of sacramental realism and how that's kind of lost a lot of times. So, like, we're saying that it has that continuity with the other sacraments, that it's an extension of, like, this is a fitting kind of bookend to the sacramental life.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. It's so true. And the prayers are all geared towards mercy on this person, thanksgiving for the life, and thanksgiving for God, who has shown us that life is changed, not ended, right? Jesus died, rose from the dead. We share in that resurrection. That's our hope. That's what we're praying for. That's what we hope for our loved ones, you know? And so to not give that people that celebration because we feel uncomfortable. I know a lot of good priests who make families feel comfortable at the time of a funeral for their loved one, even if they're not feeling comfortable.
Well, and so that's one of the ways that we can show that it's not a sacrament, is because you don't have to be Catholic to have a Catholic funeral service, correct?
That's true too, yeah.
Because you can be, I mean, whether you're married to an, or I know at one time, like back in the 50s and 60s, I think it got cleared up very, very shortly after that. But back in the 50s and 60s, I think it was that time, and before that too, was if you weren't baptized, you weren't allowed to be buried in a Catholic cemetery, right? And that was a belief at one time. Things have changed since then. But there is a Catholic funeral service specifically, I mean, there's certain prayers during Catholic funeral service for those that aren't Catholic even.
Exactly.
So you could, like a priest, you could do...
Being a corporate work of mercy, we, you know, just because someone has been afar from the Lord in their life doesn't mean that we can't afford them the mercy of God, right? Yeah, everyone, yeah. No one is outside the boundary of God's mercy, so we can afford them. There are specific prayers for people who are not Catholic, who are our brothers and sisters in other Christian denominations and various other reasons. Children who died before baptism, maybe stillborn children, miscarried.
So if you have miscarried, should you bring them then, or just at least talk to your priest about getting the body blessed? I mean, that's a hard situation.
Yeah, I think, how far advanced exactly. You are, that it's
noble. If you have, I mean, it's kind of gross to talk about, but like, I know of people that have had miscarriage and have the body, and they went and buried the body.
For sure, the priest would to go and to bury the remains with a priest, I think would be fine. And it's important in that case, I would think, for the couple to come to receive some prayer and grief counseling from their pastor as well, right? So now, this brings me to another topic about what happens when people make a choice after someone's died. Do we bury or cremate? You know, because that seems to be there's confusion about. Do we bury someone? Do we have a casket? Put someone in the casket? Or do we cremate right away?
Well, I know because of my inheritance, I want a lot more money, so I'm going to cremate them. You know what I mean? No, but that's not... There are some laws, there are some places in the world that is not allowed to bury a full body because they're running out of room or whatever the case, so you have to be cremated. So I believe the Catholic Church says that both is allowed, but the wording in it, I believe, favors... having a full body versus the cremation.
Burial is the ordinary.
Ordinary. Yeah. Yes. So in 1963, Matt, the church allowed for cremations.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think there are parts in the world, like Europe mm-hmm. especially, where like the amount of people that are there, they do the math on, you know, how much space there is available for plots. And like, you know, generations ago, hundreds of years ago, when you had more space than people. That was the norm right up until this previous century. So, yeah, 1963, they said this is okay, but you need a reason, a justification, or so if the country that you live in that's the policy, just because they don't have the space. But if you do have the space, if you do have
the means,
to bury, that is the preferred method.
Because it is more expensive. It is. $10,000 even more so expensive to have someone buried full body. And if you don't have life insurance or anything like that, and the person's not leaving any money behind, that can be a major...
Yeah. There's cost as a factor. Yeah, it varies depending on where you are, right? But even with cremation, the church says that it warns against people who cremate because they're denying the resurrection, right? Because the whole point of burying is because we, again, as we do with everything in our life, is follow the model of Jesus, who died with his body was placed in a tomb, was buried, right? And so we too, we are buried, we are placed in a tomb, and we await the day of the resurrection, right? I think the root of the word cemetery is like waiting for the resurrection.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense. I did not know that.
I stumped Matt.
There you go.
Yes.
Mark today down.
Let's just 10th. End the episode now before we go downhill. Yeah. You know, wow, this is amazing.
Yeah.
But that's the root of the word, is we're waiting, we're sleeping, we're waiting for the resurrection. And so that's where we're buried, waiting until the day of the resurrection, right? So when someone cremates for the purpose of denying the resurrection, I don't want my body, you know, then cremation is wrong. And the church says that is not okay, right?
Just kind of a little bit out there, but let's just say you were really into The Walking Dead and you cremated your body because you didn't want to come back as a zombie. Is that denying the Catholic Church?
That is interesting, though, because people generally are, even you read in the Gospels, it's like, that the tombs were, and the bodies of many holy people were resurrected. We're reading in our Sunday Gospels about Revelation. It's like the resurrection of the dead.
Yeah, yeah.
We say this in the Creed that it's like we refer to the resurrection of the dead often.
Yeah.
And people are uncomfortable, like, because their association is
zombies,
whatever, zombie movies or whatever. But like, and also that people are like, want to know how that, like, scientifically, what does that look like? Sense. How does that work? Or mm-hmm. what do you do? But, like, you are, to use kind of C.S. Lewis's definition of miracles, like, the definition of a miracle defies scientific explanation. That's why it's a miracle. Or, like, that's exactly. the, so you're talking about a supernatural event. So, yeah. like, the means by which that happens is supernatural, and presumably your body will be restored to not only its, you know, earthly state, but like to a supernatural state. Like that's what's understood by resurrection of the body. But as we've talked about in kind of all kinds of sacramental matters, like the matter matters, or like the mm-hmm. that God uses corporeal substance, uses matter to affect kind of supernatural. And
yeah,
so, now I know I understand that there is there anything different in a Catholic funeral mass, let's say, mm-hmm. from a cremated body to a regular
so
body.
The funeral mass.
You won't have six people carrying men.
Yeah, unless they're my remains. It's a lot.
It's a lot of ashes.
It is a lot of ashes. But the ordinary funeral mass needs a body present yes. in a casket, and the church prefers. And maybe people don't know this, but the church prefers, even if you're choosing cremation, that the body still comes to the church for the funeral mass,
yeah.
and then cremation is to take place after, right? So for a funeral mass, the body is present, you know? When cremation takes place afterwards, they used to call it a memorial mass, you know, and not the funeral rites. Now the church has made some pastoral changes to allow for cremated remains to be present. But still, the fullness of the funeral mass is directed when the body is present, because, like we talked about, on the day of your baptism,
you come in,
your body was you were present. Yeah. Your body was present, right? And so, the same day at the end of your life, the body is welcomed into the church. It's greeted. It's there's a sort of reverence about your body. It's incensed and blessed with holy water. That's the first thing you do when the body comes in. It's blessed with holy water to remind us of the day of our baptism.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. So the church prefers the body comes for a funeral mass, mm-hmm. then cremated after. My question is, what do you do with cremated remains after? Because lots of people have varying things to do with cremated remains.
It's such a... The world's view is now that it's just ashes, so it's a way of remembering the person by. But the church teaches, and from my understanding, you can correct me if I'm wrong, the church teaches that the remains are to be treated as the body would be treated.
Mm-hmm. Here's the exact quote. The cremated remains of the deceased are to be treated with the same reverence that is given to the body of the deceased. Yeah. And the cremated remains are placed in their entirety in a secure vessel and reverently buried or entombed in a place reserved for the disposition of the dead.
So you can put them in a mausoleum.
Mausoleum, columbarium.
That kind of
thing. Yep.
And so you're not, in the Catholic Church, you're not supposed to go scatter the ashes across their favorite fishing hole, their favorite football team's field, their favorite park that they used to sit in.
Good question. Here is exactly what it says.
Yeah.
Scattering. The church has an answer for everything.
Yeah, right? I love it.
Okay. Scattering the cremated remains, or, this is important because a lot of people do this, or keeping them in the home yes. of a family member does not exhibit appropriate reverence for the remains of the body, which was the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. So when I, because I dealt with this a lot of times at with the family dealing with the, because after, let's say, we brought them to the church and the funeral mass and everything else, then I would also be talking with the family still. I did life insurance checks and all that stuff, but I'd also be talking to them about, like, where are we burying them, where how that's going on. For me, that was a conversation I had to get straight. What the church teaches, and the priest that I asked the question to said basically, if you wouldn't do it with the body, you can't do it with the ashes.
Smart.
Specifically, yeah. So you wouldn't take, I mean, this is kind of morbid, but you wouldn't take an arm and throw it in their favorite fishing hole and a leg, and that, or you wouldn't take the body and keep it in your house. Like,
right.
That's just, you wouldn't take the body and hang it around your neck. You wouldn't, you know, like all those little things that people say or do nowadays with it, you wouldn't do. So because you don't do that with the body.
Yeah.
You keep the body whole together. It would just be morbid if, you know, all of a sudden you cut the body up and put it in two different places. Mm-hmm. So you keep the body whole together, and like so your ashes in the cremated remains should stay.
And that's, I think, a good thing you mentioned that, because that's what like people like to do, is take the remains and put a little bit here give a little bit to...
so-and-so to bury in the motherland.
Yeah, or just, you know, a little container in this house of the family, a little container in this house of the family. The cremated remains have to remain intact, never separated. And you know, there's a whole thing about making it into jewelry now and all this stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's really unfortunate.
Yeah. And even where they are kept kind of in one vessel, intact, like up on a mantle or something like that. There are practical concerns about that too. Like the famous example, or the thing that you read about or happens in movies or something, like it falls off, and what do you do? Like,
do you vacuum up the remains?
Yeah, you're creating a situation where it's very likely that you're going to be put in a position where you have to treat the remains in a disrespectful way or something. But even kind of the short term perspective of that is that what happens when that person dies? Like they have them up on the mantle to keep them close. You inherit the remains of someone you may not have known or may not have been that close to. What do you do then? Like, do you have options for internment, or like you're
exactly
there? Or it comes on your
It falls on your hands.
And I think it's important, because like some people say, like, this makes me feel close to the person, so I keep them in my house as a sign that they're close to me. But I think more effort has to be made on teaching people about the separation of body and soul. Like, this person is not present in their remains here in the urn. The person is not present. Their soul has gone on to the next life. And so rather than feel close to them by having the urn present on our mantle, we should be really praying for them, really offering.
And if the priority there is staying close to that person, if that person died in the faith, the closest you can encounter that person is in the sacrament, is in
exactly.
Yeah,
heaven opens up.
So I don't want to discourage that attitude of trying to keep our loved ones who have passed close.
No,
but way that you do that is through
exactly,
for sure. And you know, we don't believe that someone is present in these remains.
No,
you know, now and the best place is to bury the remains, because that goes again with the Christian dignity. Remember, we're keeping up the tradition of what happened to Jesus. We model Jesus, who was buried, you know, and is waiting in the cemetery. Now, buried usually on holy ground, right?
So my mom passed away, now it's going to be 11 or 12 years now, or 11 years now. And when she passed away, she wanted to be buried in the cemetery closest to our farm, the family farm. And it's actually kind of, the funny thing is, now 11 years later, I bought a house that is right next to that area. So I can see my mom from my window, which is, I guess, morbid in some ways, but I really like it. But the idea, she wanted that because every time we drove out to the farm, we would pass by that cemetery. The Catholic cemetery was about 3 more kilometers past that into the bush. And so if she wanted to get, so one of the things I realized or I remember was, it was just a regular cemetery, but it was sacred. It's a holy ground. Sacred ground is in the Catholic cemetery because the whole cemetery is blessed. But in this case here, the priest came out and blessed the ground specifically where my mom was to be buried and made it holy, sacred ground, right? Is that?
For sure. Yeah. Exactly. The priest, when he comes to do the rite of committal, which is the burial rite, he blesses the ground. And the prayer is actually very beautiful. I'm going to read it to you exactly as it is, because it's really, really something. He says, O God, by whose mercy the faithful departed find rest, bless this grave and send your holy angel to watch over it.
Yeah.
Isn't that beautiful?
It is,
yeah. I mean, like, the constant care of God doesn't end with death, right? And I think that's beautiful, in the right in the rite of burial. So yes, when you bury in like a non-Catholic cemetery, and even in a Catholic cemetery, you still bless the ground again, even though the ground is blessed when the cemetery opens, when the plot is open,
still bless
it's
the
still
ground.
Nice to bless the ground there. Okay, so wrapping up here a little bit, when someone dies, it's important for Catholics today to tell their family, either write it down, speak about it, that you want a Catholic funeral. make your plans known. You can choose the readings. You can choose music if you want. You can choose, but it's important to tell your family that you want a Catholic funeral, not something else that they'll decide. You know, there's this also attitude. Some people say, I don't want anything. Just get rid of me.
Yeah.
You know, and it's sort of like, I don't want anyone to make a big deal of me. Well, the spiritual effects are really important of a Catholic funeral.
Yeah.
Like, you do not want to miss what happens to your soul during a Catholic funeral because you don't want people to make a big deal of you. Stop being stubborn. Have a Catholic funeral, right? Let us pray for your mercy. Let us pray because while you don't want people to make a big deal of you, it's eternal life. Like, is at stake. Like, your eternity is at stake here. You know, we can maybe help you get there faster.
Exactly.
With those things. So let it be known to your family. Okay, I think that's very important. If someone is either being cremated or buried, I think it's important that you respect the rules of not being separated, not being scattered, to be buried whole, to have those conversations with people, you know, and to really say what your wishes are. Because oftentimes, like you said, you only deal with a family, with a death once, twice, three times in your life. People aren't really prepared to deal with.
Can I say that that's one of the things that I would encourage most people now, encourage my clients with a planner book like this, but is to have your own planner book, which would have what you'd like at your funeral service and everything else, but as well, you would also have specifically maybe where you have financial things placed, where I mean, if not that you want to put your passwords and stuff like that, but everything kind of just laid out. So there's one stop shop. If you really want to take care of your family, having everything in one spot where they can just go, oh, this is what it is. This is how it's done. This is where, you know,
right.
That's the best way you could do it. Have a little duotang, have a little binder, have something. Let your family know where it is. Let them know that you have it. And the other thing that it does, just to kind of wrap up, is that people have disagreements at time of death. Oh, they really would want it this way. No, they would really want it this way. Having that binder, having that all telltale sign, puts any discussion to rest because you've already said kind of what it is. So you're taking disagreement or times of maybe some problems with family out of that. So,
okay. On that note, that's all the time we have on this episode. So hopefully that's made some clarity for people in when we're dealing with this. And let's not forget about the power of prayer too and the support the church gives in someone's grief process as well. When you're dealing with this, you don't have to deal with it alone. Lots of people in the funeral home, priests, let's have are ready to help you through the process. So if you have any questions for us on this episode or any other topic, please email us at thecatholicbuzzpodcast@gmail.com. And for Josh Sullivan and Matt Van Milligan, my name is Father Daniele, and we will see you next time on our next episode of The Catholic Buzz.